The book of Acts, chapter 28, Paul the apostle here, you remember, they were on the ship in the great storm, Euroclydon. They blew up on this island. The Bible says in verse 1, you have it, say amen. And when they were escaped, then they knew the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered up a bundle of sticks and laid them upon the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom thou, though he escape the sea, yet the vengeance suffereth him not to live. Took off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He shook it off, grabbed onto his hand, and he shook off the beast into the fire. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that this man was a god. In the same quarters there were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius. This man was sick, and he received him and lodged with us 3 days. And the Bible says in verse 8, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases on the island, or in the island, came and were healed. Who also honored us with many honors, when we departed, laded us with such things as were necessary. Verse 11, after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had been wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. I'll take my time for a few moments and read back up here at the familiar portion of this that really caught everybody's attention, where Paul was gathering some sticks. Cold, there was a storm that had blown them up onto the island. The Bible says they were barbarians. These men were heathen, to put it plainly, basically. I've heard different, I was reading up on some of the commentaries, there's different opinions, but Paul's going about gathering some sticks because it's cold and he's throwing them on the fire. The Bible says that there came a snake, a venomous snake, out of that fire, out of the heat. And it laid onto his hand and bit him. I want to share some thoughts on simply, are we doing our part to keep the fire burning? Are you willing to do your part to keep the fire burning? I only have a few thoughts that I want to encourage us with tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Open up our hearts, O God, I pray tonight, to receive that which you would have us to hear. Speak to us, Holy Ghost, I pray. God, remove every hindrance, every carnal thought, Lord. Let our minds be steadfast upon you tonight. God, we're asking that the Spirit of the living God would manifest in this place tonight. Stir our hearts, O Lord. Challenge us to do our part. Lord, we know that you want to do a great work in our midst. You've poured out your Spirit in weeks, Lord God, these past few weeks upon us. Lord, we know that you are preparing us for work that must be done in Manchester. God, we're believing you that you are preparing us. Help us to do our part in response to what you have commanded us to do through your word. Lord, your promises are yea and amen. We're looking to you tonight. Speak to each of us individually. Stir our hearts through your word, I pray. Let every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, be ordained of you. Lord, I'm not going to try to do any more than what you allow and anoint me to do tonight. I ask that, Lord God, you would help me to encourage your people. Stir our hearts tonight, I pray, that all that be done tonight glorify you. We'll be sure to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of us are familiar with this story? You may be seated. You familiar with this story? Simple thought. I think what's oftentimes overlooked in the text that we read was Paul the Apostle was not on the island being waited on, but he was doing his part to minister. It was a cold night and there was a storm. Great storm, probably a storm similar to a hurricane. If you read the previous chapter, they had no control over this ship and where it landed. But God had ordained them to come up on this island, Melita. You know, sometimes we might be headed in one direction, but God's got another direction for us to go. How many want to be led by God's Spirit? Amen. Times we got to go in the direction where the wind is blowing. I don't want to go contrary to the wind. If the wind's blowing in a certain direction, I do not like fighting against the wind. Seen some windy days up here in the Northeast. Seen some windy storms come through. It sure is difficult to go contrary to the wind in the direction that it's blowing. Amen? I believe God's leading us in a certain direction, church. His ways are not our ways, but if we, by the Spirit, through prayer, will seek the Lord, I believe He will show us the path plainly that we are to walk in. Paul was doing his part. They had blown up onto this island. The Bible says they were barbarous men. I believe that basically these men were men that lived on this island. It goes on to say that there was a fire that was made, and there was rain, it was windy, it was cold, the Bible says. Paul the Apostle is doing his part. We fail to recognize, amen, that if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to learn to first be a servant of all. Amen? I don't care, you can serve your brothers and sisters in Christ, but he said you better be a servant of all. That means everybody, red or yellow, black or white. Amen. How many of us know if you're going to be a servant of the Lord, you've got to be willing to serve all. Amen. So Paul is gathering these sticks. He's doing his part to keep the fire burning. You ever had a windy night and try to keep a fire burning, Brother Phil? Seems to burn a little faster. You put the fires out in the open and the wind is blowing and it's burning the sticks right up. Oftentimes we'll get a fire going at home in our little stove and we'll crack the door open and it's just, that air is flowing. It burns the wood up real quick. You gotta keep feeding the fire to keep it burning. Amen? Bible doesn't say how many times Paul went to feed this fire, but he was doing his part. So that everybody could get warm. It was a cold night. It's cold out there, brothers and sisters. I said, it's cold out there. There's a storm that's been brewing for some time in the spiritual realm. And it's awfully cold out there. You go visit some churches. I'm not saying literally do that, but trust me, it's cold out there. The Bible says, because iniquity is abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. I hate to say it, but there shouldn't be this amongst the brethren. I can see it around the Pentecostal holiness ranks. You can see it amongst people. There's a coldness that's entering into the hearts of people. I've walked into certain atmospheres and I can feel the coldness. And especially here in New England, the frozen chosen. Now we laugh and we think it's funny, but I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, that's a sad title to have for the church of the living God up here in New England. He said, I would rather you be what? Hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I'll tell you what, it's not always good. I've heard it taught on, and Rick's mentioned it, that a man that's cold at least recognizes his need. But I think a lot of people have gone beyond being cold. I think they're getting numb to the coldness. I believe it comes to a point where you can get so cold that, amen, I believe, what is it called? Frostbite begins to set in, and even your feelings are not there anymore. You become numb to even the feeling that you're cold anymore. It's cold out there. But there's a fire burning in here. God sparked a fire in here. I said, God has sparked a fire in here. Are you willing to do your part to keep the fire burning? I would do nobody any favor to tell you that keeping the fire burning requires labor. I said it requires labor to keep the fire burning in this place. Can you say amen? Are you listening? Are you following me? God's lit a fire, brothers and sisters. I didn't light the fire. He lit the fire. But we've got to keep the fire burning. God is doing a work and He's wanting us to be willing. Willing to be vessels that can be used by Him to do a work in these last days. Can you say amen? Do you want to be a part of what God is doing? Do you want to be a part of the work of God? I don't know about you, but many people don't want really wholeheartedly to be a part of a move of God. Therefore, I don't think they will be a part of it. Because I believe God's not going to just let anybody jump into this thing if they haven't paid their dues. Amen. Oftentimes in sports, you get a team that's been a bad team for a long time. And then you got those people when the team starts doing good that they call the bandwagon jumpers. The folks that really weren't wholeheartedly for the team. But now that, how many of us know, you remember the Patriots for a long time. And I didn't keep up on the Patriots, but I oftentimes know that they had bad seasons for a long time. But then when they started making the Super Bowl and the high up games and the playoff games is what they call them. And then a lot of people started to what you call jump on the bandwagon. A lot of the people that had been there faithful throughout the years and they were fans of the team, they didn't like the bandwagon jumpers because see, amen, if you're really going to be committed, you got to be committed during the good times and the bad times. Can you say amen? I was sharing with Sister Veronica there, and she was talking about how God is beginning to move, and we were just talking about, you know, the church went through a period of time where there wasn't a lot happening. You know why she's beginning to shout in some of these services? Because, see, she's been with the church through some bad times. She's stayed faithful, Brother Johnny and a few others. When nobody else was coming, Nobody else was here. Nobody else was here, during those times when there was only just two or three people, or maybe even one or two. And amen, now that the Spirit of God's beginning to move and God's lit a fire, amen, I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, she's got a right to shout. She's got a right to say hallelujah. She's got a right to glorify God. Amen. I believe that we as the people of God, we don't need to sit back and just sit back and say, oh, well, I'm not going to get into it if nobody else is going to get it. No, no. We've got to be willing to say, I'm going to get into the work that God is doing, whether it's good time, whether it's a bad time. I'm going to do my part to keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. God had showed me, Sister Veronica, when there was nobody else here, even before Pastor Rick came to begin to help. Sister Veronica was getting some kindling. Are you listening? She kept the kindling ready. And she kept the smoking flax going. It was just a smoking flax when we came here, Brother Rick. It was just a smoking flax. And it was almost ready to go out. And matter of fact, you had to check to see if there was any smoke burning every now and then. Are you listening to me? Heard it said by Brother Rick, but God had a plan. God had a plan for Paul to land on this island. In the natural, we would say, why would God allow them to blow off course and land on this little island? God's ways are not our ways. You know, sometimes when we try to figure out what God's doing, we'll mess things up. I was praying about Mexico this week. I felt God speak to my heart, and we need to pray about Brother Victor. I told him, I said, I believe God has put it within my heart, Brother Rick. I don't know if there's going to be a lot more invitations open like they have, but I feel God's going to begin to settle us into Mexico City. I feel the presence of God right now as I speak about it. God did all this other to teach me some things, to teach you some things, and to show us some things about that country and how to handle the people. Amen. God brought us off course for a little while. I thought I was going to go down there and continue the work with my grandpa's churches. No, that was just getting my foot in the door, because then other doors began to open in the direction I thought I was going to go. Amen. Paul thought he was heading to a particular destination, which was Rome, right? But amen, God had another plan along the way. God had another plan. He brought a storm that blew him off course to bring him to this island. Listen, sometimes we think God's leading us in a particular direction, and yeah, that is the place where God's bringing us in finality and in our final destination. But in between, God's going to give us some pit stops, and he's going to bring us to some places. Amen. I believe our final destination, and maybe some other places, but I know that there's a work that needs to be done in Mexico City. And I believe it's no accident that God brought Victor to the deliverance center to be taught, and then he got blown off course. He thought he was headed out to Colorado after he graduated from Bible school. Listen to this for a minute. He thought he was going to go out to Colorado, Brother Phil. But no, God had another plan. He had his sail set towards Colorado, saying, I'm going to make a life for myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. And amen, God said, I'll tell you what, son, I'm going to give you a wind that's going to blow you in a different direction, and that's back to Mexico. Amen. We know that he got picked up and sent back to Mexico, but it all was in the plan of God. Amen. And what am I sharing this with you for? God's got a plan for us here at the Abiding Light, and it goes beyond these four walls. It goes beyond, amen, this neighborhood, but God is raising up a people right here, and you might think, I'm nobody. Listen, God uses the nobodies. God uses the ones that seem like there are nobody, because that's a good attitude to have, because we aren't anybody without him. Amen. Victor oftentimes would tell me, I'm not qualified to be a pastor. I said, listen, you might not be, but I'll tell you what, God can begin to help you to begin to walk into what he has called you to do. Amen. Oftentimes we don't think we're qualified, but like I said, we got to come to the Lord with those empty hands and say, Lord, here I am. Use me and glorify yourself through me. God has a plan for us here, church. And we've all got to do our part. The fire is burning. The church world is cold. And God may send us to some of these local churches and churches around here and so that we can go help our brethren that have maybe lost the power, lost the fire of God in their life, lost the vision. I believe God is going to do a lot more with us here than we think he is, because I believe he's wanting to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask, because God is wanting to glorify himself through a people that will submit themselves to his will, get in tune with walking in the Spirit, and walk when he says to walk, go when he says to go. People that are willing to say, Lord, I don't have anything to offer them, but all I have is myself. Here I am. Use me and glorify yourself through me, Lord. Hallelujah. Are you willing? Are you willing to do your part? I didn't want to go to Mexico. I don't like going to Mexico. I'll be honest with you. I enjoy the part of the labor we're doing. But I don't like going through those checkpoints, not knowing if they're legitimate police officers or military guys. I'll tell you, Paul didn't want to probably land on that island with a bunch of heathen. Yellow. It's one thing to go minister here in the States, but wait till God sends you out onto the mission field and you go a bunch of, when we went over to Africa for the first time and went out into that Rift Valley and we went out there eating with some of those barbarians, we went out there eating with some of those men. Oh, brothers and sisters, listen, I'm telling you, they weren't dressed like we were dressed. Those Maasai are dressed like a legitimate, something you would see on a National Geographic. I'm telling you, they got swords, they got spears. They look like heathen. And I'm telling you, it's intimidating. And I'll be honest with you. Remember the night we were sitting around the table? And amen, they had a nice fire going, cooking food. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, Phil, we better be in the will of God right now. Because I'll tell you what, if we aren't sent here, we're in trouble. Are you listening to me? If you aren't sent, you better be careful. Because I'll tell you, anytime you get out of the will of God, sometimes you are apt to be in some serious danger. But I looked around at some of those young men, big old husky boys, and some of them wrestle lions way back then. I don't know if they do now, but we heard one man tell us a story of them wrestling lions, and that was an initiation to their manhood. But without getting into that too much, I'll tell you this, brothers and sisters, I knew that it was a good experience for me to go to that place. It was a good experience for you. Remember what Paul said about becoming all things to all men? Amen. I said, we got to be diverse in the way that we minister to people. You can't minister to the Africans the same way you minister to the Americans. Amen. You can't be able to minister to the Mexicans the same way you minister to the Americans. Listen, we get too narrow-minded. We only think that God has sent us right here. And this is, listen, and I know that God has sent us right here in Manchester, but God is wanting to do a greater work. And I want to be able to put in your heart tonight, it goes beyond what your natural mind can begin to comprehend, because I believe, amen, that God has started a fire here. And we as God's people need to recognize that the hand of God is moving amongst us. And some of you need to get some kindling. If you don't have a fire burning in your heart, I wish the whole church was here tonight, because some of them need to get some kindling. They haven't been praying like they should be praying. Listen, the Holy Ghost began to move Sunday night, and some of them didn't even hardly move, brothers and sisters. And I'm not trying to be mean. God moved for the last four
5 weeks, and all they want to do is just sit around the fire and do nothing. But listen, God's not going to put up with a lazy attitude spiritually. He's wanting us to be a servant to all. We need to do our part, gather the wood, and feed the fire. I don't care if it's a shout of hallelujah. I don't care if it's a shout of praise. When the fire begins to burn, we need to be willing to do our part. If it's playing the piano, if it's playing the drums, if it's standing up to testify, whatever God wants you to do to help keep the fire burning, you need to be willing to feed the fire so that we can get it so hot, brothers and sisters, that the devil will have no place in this place. Can you say amen? When the fire gets to burning, the enemy will be lurking. How many of us know what a serpent, slithery serpent? You watch. Folks that really aren't called to be a part of this congregation is going to start showing up. Yeah. And they're going to start slithering. Yeah, they're going to start slithering. Are you listening? Not everybody that walks through these doors is really called to be here. I'm telling you. Yeah. The heat brings out things. We're thinning out a little bit, church. Yeah, we're thinning out a little bit. Because the fire's starting to burn, Brother Martin. Appreciate you shouting with me and helping me keep the fire going Sunday night, brother. I was telling my wife about that. I said, man, Brother Martin was helping me preach. He was over there he was throwing a few extra pieces of wood going, preach, brother. Yeah, he was tossing that kindling, Sister Veronica. He was tossing the wood on the fire. I was preaching and, amen, at times I'd get tired and I'd get weary, brother, and brother Martin would come over Phil and stuff. He'd see that I was tired. He'd say, come on, brother. You know what he was doing? He was helping me keep the fire burning. He was doing his part to help the preacher preach. You know what bothers Pastor Davis more than anything is when I labor and I cry out to God in prayer, getting a word for the flock of God, and I get up behind the pulpit and I begin to preach, and all the people would just want to sit around the fire and do nothing. They don't want to do their part. They don't want to help feed the fire. They don't want to do anything but sit there and enjoy the heat off the fire. Are we doing our part? Most of you are. To keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need somebody that's willing to go out and labor and bring wood in here to feed the fire. Amen. I'm going to preach right. I can preach this because I know what wood cutting is. How much work was it in past days, Rick? Me and Phil and Rick, going out and cutting down trees all day and cutting up the wood and loading it and moving it, taking it home and cutting it and splitting it and reloading it and stacking it and delivering it. I'm telling you, it's a lot of labor to get firewood. Unless somebody else has already cut it up and did all the work for you. But you know what God requires us to do? We can't use somebody else's fire. We can't take their fuel for the fire, which is the wood. We got to keep our own fire burning. I appreciate the other pastors around here. But we got to keep our fire burning. Holy Ghost said to me, Sister Veronica, don't you put that fire out on Sunday nights to go visit Pastor Johnson. No. See, he don't understand. We got a fire burning over here. And guess what? I want to protect that fire from going out. I want to stand around that fire and I want to be careful. I don't want anything coming in to dampen the fire. I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying tonight. Amen. Are you willing to recognize that the fire is burning, brothers and sisters? And amen, I'm telling you, you be careful now. The devil is going to begin to rear his head.
Paul was doing his part.
We don't have to be ignorant of the devil's devices. God's already given us warning.
When the serpent begins to come in,
God's going to let us recognize it.
Bible says in Proverbs 26 and 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. You know what started this fire?
Prayer. Prayer. It wasn't me. It was you were praying. Rick's been praying. Veronica's been praying. Martin's have been praying. I've been praying. Many of you have been praying. You're at home. I should have brought my axe tonight so I can show you. Get the kindling. Get the kindling. We're going to do our part to keep the fire burning. You know what doing your part is? Praying faithfully at home. You can make it a way of life. I heard an old-time pastor talking on the radio saying, the old-time church, we had the fire. Why is the fire gone out in the church? Because there's no wood. Nobody's cutting any wood. Nobody's praying the way they need to pray. Listen, prayer is labor. Cutting wood is labor. And I'll tell you what, we can pray here at the church, but where we really can cut some wood so that we can be prepared to bring it into the house of God to do our part to keep the fire burning is when we pray at home. Amen. When we can fast and pray and seek His face, that's where God can begin to move upon our hearts and we can come into the house of God and have something to offer to keep that fire burning hot. Amen. The wood is what keeps the fire burning. Bible declares when God comes down by His Spirit, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know what I believe when Paul was feeding that fire and that old serpent jumped on him? I believe the Holy Ghost came upon him. Woo, glory to God. I think it was more than just his natural strength. The devil wanted to kill him. The devil wanted to destroy him. Listen, he's seeking. He's looking. He's a deceiver. He comes in amongst and he tries to kill, steal, and to destroy and sink his fangs in one of us. Because I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, you know what? If the devil can get to one of us, he can start to affect all of us. I don't believe he just sat there. I believe he did a shake like nobody ever seen. Whoa, get that thing off me. It lashed up on his hands because of the heat of the fire. Shook it off. I said he shook it off. Devil tries coming your way. You're going to need the power of God to just shake him off. Just to shake him off. Say, devil, you're a liar. Brother Phil said Pastor Steve was having some pains in his heart. Shared that with me. Probably bothered him in the natural mind a little bit. How many of you have ever had some heart pains? The devil starts saying, you're going to have a heart attack and die. Could you imagine Paul after that venomous snake bit him? Oh yeah, that sharp pain in his hand. I don't know if he felt pain. It was enough to make him shake it off. I bet you he felt something. A sharp pain. What's that? Had a few of those, Brother Rick. Devil got me in Mexico one night. Brothers had to pray me through. Rick was in Africa praying for me. I felt your prayers, brother. I'm telling you, I felt that pain. I felt that old serpent latch right on me and start just trying to sink his venom in me. And I begin to pray and My wife was praying, and Veronica was praying, the church was praying, Rick was praying. And all to once I begin to feel the Holy Ghost give me some strength to just begin to shake him off. Begin to shake off that old heartfelt feeling of, oh, you're going to have a heart attack and die in Mexico. The devil is a liar. Holy Ghost was moving, Rick. I preached one of those meetings where I just, it was that powerful anointing that the Lord helps me. He knows he's seen it. He says he gets that look in his eyes and his hand starts going like this. And that's when God really begins to preach through me. And I'm telling you, I was on fire that night, Brother Martin. But on the way home, that serpent came and said, heart started. Head was pounding. Blood pressure was way up. You know I put my whole heart into preaching. Maybe I should pull back at times, but you let the Holy Ghost fire start burning in you. You let the fire get in you under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah described it saying it was like fire shut up in my bones. You can't contain fire. It's going to begin to spread. And if you've got the fire of the Holy Ghost, you can't contain it. I said you can't contain it. You can't contain it. It's going to spread. It's not wildfire. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. He said when he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Fire of God. That's what we need, church. We don't need to control this thing. We don't need to try. Listen, I'm sick of hearing. I've heard it time and time again where most of the modern churches that are claiming to be Pentecostal, listen to me, in name only. Remember we were talking about that with that old Assembly of God elder. Remember Brother Phil? And he says, I remember the days when we had the fire. When we heard the messages that came down out of heaven that burned in the heart of a pastor that was home praying, seeking the face of God. And he came up behind the pulpit and he had an unction from him. He had an unction of the Holy Ghost. He had power. He had fire. Amen. He preached a message and the elder basically said in so many words that the pastor preached with so much fire. It was like he was full of fire and the people were like wood. And amen, the power of the Holy Ghost consumed the congregation. Listen, we don't need to try to control this thing. We don't need to try to sit there and water it down. We don't need to try to say just because it's Wednesday night, we can't have a move of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you can have your Wednesday night service and sit there around the fire and do nothing. But I'm going to feed the fire. I'm going to feed the fire. I'm going to do my part to do what God has given me to do, to get the fire burning so hot that brothers and sisters, that the power of God would manifest through the life of everybody that is here. Hallelujah. I want the fire to spread. Glory to God. When the fire comes, there will be an anointing. The anointing is the manifestation of God's presence that will come into the midst of a people that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. For righteousness. Yeah, we have our faults. We have our struggles. We have our limitations as men and women. But brothers and sisters, we are still the people of God. God takes ordinary people and makes them extraordinary. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I like when I hear about men. Oh, hallelujah. Like a Smith Wigglesworth, who was a man that could barely even read. Amen. He got so discouraged preaching many a times. Amen. He would walk off the platform because he came under such discouragement. But then he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost with fire. And he changed that preacher that was a preacher that was bashful and that couldn't stand up in front of a congregation. He would stumble over his words. He could barely read his text. He couldn't really do anything to generate and make anything happen. Listen, well, I can't make anything happen. You can't make anything happen. We can't keep the fire burning. The one that's got to keep the fire burning is God touching our soul and touching our spirit. Listen to me. It's the power of the Holy Ghost within us as it begins to manifest out of us. Listen, that's when the power of God will begin to move through each and every one of us as vessels unto God. We are all vessels. We are all channels. God used Rick over in Africa to touch the hearts of many pastors. He was just a vessel. But he had taken what God had deposited into his life for 25, 30 years of teaching, of praying, of fasting. And he took all that he had. He went over with his cup full. He gave everything over there in Africa. I'm just giving you a simple illustration, amen, about one man that couldn't even talk. He stuttered, but God rose him up. Oh, gave him the power and the anointing to teach the word of God to a bunch of heathen. Are you listening to me? Amen. I believe God's going to bring a revival in Africa. I believe God's going to take some of the things that you taught those young men and begin to kindle the fire deep down within the hearts of those young men. And I believe we're going to hear about a revival sweeping through, amen, the Rift Valley. Amen. And I believe many souls will be saved. Hallelujah. Yeah, I believe this. Because this is what I've been praying for. That's not any man's particular work. That's God's work. Amen. He said, I will build my church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. We can build block buildings over there. We can build little churches all through there and in Mexico. But amen, brothers and sisters, the true church is the church that has the Spirit of God. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we as God's people, we are the instrument that God uses upon this earth to bring forth this glorious gospel to those that are lost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul was called by this head tribesman. The father of this man was sick. He had a bloody flux. I looked that up and what it meant, and it basically meant that he had blood coming out of his bowels. This was the chief, the head man of the island. He wasn't a Christian. Hallelujah. He wasn't a Christian. But Paul went to this man. The Bible declares to us, this man was very sick. He had a fever, the Bible says, and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed. And the Bible declares that this man was healed. That this bloody flux basically dried up. It must have. The fever went away. Oh, you listen to me, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about the power of God manifesting among a people that know not God. Listen, I believe God's going to manifest His power in this earth one more time on a measure that we have never seen. I believe it. I feel it burning. Listen, there's a lot of people that aren't looking for it. They don't want it, but I want to see it. I want to see a manifestation of the healing power of God move amongst our churches once again, where that people can be sitting in the seats and the anointing of the Holy Ghost is so powerful
that, oh, hallelujah, that cancers begin to dry up, that blind eyes begin to open, that, oh, amen, sick bodies are healed, that broken backs, hallelujah, are healed, amen, hearts are healed, amen, minds that are not right are healed. And I believe God's wanting to manifest His power amongst a people that are looking for this. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, here I am, Lord. Glorify yourself through me. I might not get to go to Africa. I might not get to go to Mexico. I might not get to go into the uttermost parts of the earth, but I can go right here in Manchester and I can be a vessel that can bring forth honor and glory to my master. I can be a vessel to give hope to a people that have no hope. Listen, brothers and sisters, Paul went into this man that was going to die. And there was a miracle performed. You listen to me for a second. I got to hurry up. The Bible says, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. You know what's going to get the attention of the unbeliever is when blind eyes are opened. Amen. And when cancers that we know, amen, the doctors have diagnosed people with certain cancers, or amen, tuberculosis or whatever sickness or disease they have, when they begin to get healed and they go to the doctor and realize, what did you come in here for? You don't have a heart condition. You don't have a blood condition. You don't have a cancer. You don't have cirrhosis of the liver anymore. Listen, God can do miracles. I believe God can still do miracles. All things are possible to the people that will believe their God. Hallelujah. I think this move of God is going to be in obscure places where there aren't going to be the TBN cameras. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching this now. They aren't going to be the Daystar Network with their cameras saying, oh, they're getting healed. Oh, they're getting healed. No, 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 no. So that they can get their, hallelujah. So that they can get their TV ratings. Ah, come on. Because really what they want to do is make something happen that really isn't happening. Listen, you're not telling me that people that aren't truly, amen, seeking God with all their heart and all their soul and all their spirit, God's not going to manifest His power through a people that aren't truly consecrated and dedicated and living a separated life. Listen, listen, I believe God's going to require us as His people to be a separated people and a people that are dedicated and committed to living a life of righteousness and holiness. Can you say amen? The Bible declares that after this man was healed, this was their chief. I bet your word got around. Cancel chief's funeral. I bet you they said, cancel chief's funeral. You know, all it's going to take, Rick, is if one of those chiefs over there get deathly ill and a man of God comes over into that Rift Valley and there's a miracle performed in the midst of those heathen. The Bible declares when they heard about this man getting healed with the bloody flux, their chief, that many came from all over the island. They came from all over the island. They came, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Listen, all it's going to take is one miracle in this place that's going to begin to open up the eyes of people that are from heathen countries in this neighborhood. Listen, we got people all over Manchester that are from Africa, that are from Europe, that are from all over this world. And I know we might not be much in the eyes of men. And I know we don't have the cameras and a radio broadcast in this place. But God is not looking for that. He's looking for people that will believe their God, that will put their trust in the power of God. And I believe if we'll come to God and say, God, use us, glorify yourself through us, I believe God will manifest His power through this church because we're willing to let God have His way. Can you say amen? Do you believe it? Do you believe that these miracles can happen? I'm ready to see it. I can't make it happen.
The chief got healed. The Bible says they came from all over the island. Are you listening? Listen closely now. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. And then it goes on to say, they went on to honor us with many honors. Listen to me now. Think about this. Put yourself on this island witnessing this. I had to think about this and meditate on this for a while. And then I went down to verse 11. After they honored them and gave them all these things, the Bible says, and after 3 months, are you listening? 3 months, they were on that island. What do you think they were doing for 3 months, Rick? Woo! Listen, I believe there's some revivals going on that we aren't hearing about. Amen. I believe that. Because you know why? Amen. You know, as soon as you hear about a revival, they'll run with the video cameras. Oh, you listen to me. I believe there's going to be some revivals where there doesn't need to be any video cameras. There doesn't need to be broadcasted on TBN or your Daystar network. But I'm telling you, God is going to get all the glory. Amen. In this last day hour, I don't believe God's going to use people that are looking to get their name exalted, get their ministry exalted, looking to get glory for themselves, looking to sell their books, looking to sell their tapes, looking to brag about how God moved in our church and how we had a 20-week revival. Listen, God said, no flesh shall glory in my presence. God is wanting a people that will humble themselves under his almighty hand. We're not looking to get the credit. We're not looking to get a pat on the back. We're not looking to get a book contract. We're not looking to get TBN to come in and interview us about the power of God. All we're looking to do is say, Lord, here we are. Here we are. Help us to do our part to fuel the fire. Fuel the fire. Glorify yourself through this body of believers. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's coming. It's coming. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. I feel it. I know it's coming. Expectation will produce an anticipation. Are you listening to me? Those are two different words. And amen, I didn't quite get the definition completely of the second one, but I'll tell you this, anticipation means that you know something's on its way. Whoa, hallelujah. I said, you know, some expectation is that you're waiting, you're kind of, well, but I'm talking anticipation. You can sense it. You can feel it. You know the fire's burning hotter and hotter, and God is on the move. God has got some great things in store. Listen, church, Paul was on this island for 3 months. Amen. And let me tell you something. They were coming from all over the island. Amen. They were dropping their coconuts and saying, did you hear the chief got healed? Amen. Oh, well, we got to travel 3 or 4 miles and walk through the jungle. But if we'll get to the place where God is moving, I'm telling you, we are on our way to a place. I believe, brothers and sisters, that God is bringing us where his power can manifest amongst us as believers. Hallelujah. I believe they had a revival on the island of Melita. I believe there was a revival. I believe there was a manifestation. We didn't get any records of it, but what were they doing there for 3 months? Sitting around? No, no, no. The Bible says that it was winter time. It was cold. But you listen to me. It might have been cold in the natural, but the Holy Ghost was burning on the island of Melita. And I'm telling you, enough to where most of us buckle down in the winter and we don't even want to leave our houses. Amen. And we still
still got people that way that won't come to church in the summertime. But glory be to God, we get the power and the fire burning hard enough here in the abiding light, and I believe we'll bring out the frozen chosen. I believe we'll bring out those that are still sleeping in their beds tonight when they should have been in church. I'm telling you, I'm not putting anybody down, but we need to see a revival. We need to see a revival. We need to see a manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost with fire. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to quickly. I've got to finish this quickly, church. You go ahead and keep praising the Lord. Hallelujah. The way we're going to see this, I believe when they recognized and see Paul shake off that venomous serpent. The Bible says that they watched him for a while. They watched him for a while. But then when they realized that he wasn't swelling up and he continued feeding the fire. It's one thing when the devil comes and hits you and you fall down and you stay down and you moan and you groan and you cry. The devil's beating me up. Oh, I don't even feel like going to church. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, brothers and sisters. I've been hit by the devil these last 2 years from all angles, and so have you. The devil's been biting on some of you. The devil's been coming at some of you. He's been discouraging some of you. And many people are looking at you, waiting for you to fall, waiting for you to backslide, waiting for you to throw in the white towel. But amen, you know what Paul did? He just shook it off. He just shook it off. He just shook it off. You know how he was able to shake it off? He was able to shake it off with the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, we can't do this without the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't make it through this furnace of affliction without the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't make it through these financial trials without the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't make it without God giving you the strength to take you through. Hallelujah. David said, hallelujah. David said it this way. He said in the book of Psalms, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Paul was in that shadow of death. He was walking around, and you can bet he knew that that snake bit him and it was venomous. And you're telling me, listen, a little bit of fear can sometimes grab you. Fear. Fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Rick, fear's been trying to come against me and put me down. It's been trying to put you down. It's been trying to put Sister Veronica down. Fear is, that devil latches on for a little while, and then he expects you, amen, to fall down. Amen. But the devil is a liar. Amen. Paul shook him off and he went about his business. Listen, I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ. I said, not through myself, not through my brothers or my sisters. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Strength that is not natural. Strength that is supernatural. What the devil meant for your bad. Can I use that language? God's going to use for your good. The Bible says they watched him for a while. But then when they realized he didn't die and he didn't swell up. Man, this man, he must be a god. No, he's not a god. He's a man of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, you know what? Amen. Oftentimes that's what people will look at us and they'll wait for us to fall. They'll wait for us to stagger. They'll wait for us to get out of the wreck. Amen. Out of the race and get shipwrecked. Paul talked about getting shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked, but guess what? Amen. His ship was just delayed for a little while. Amen. It was the winter time and God had another ship waiting for him to continue
through his journey. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, amen, God brought him on a little detour to the island of Melita, where there were some miracles manifested, where the power of God was manifested. And for 3 months, I believe, they fanned the flame of that fire. And I believe the fires of revival came to that island. And many of those barbarians, many of those men upon that island, I don't know what type of men they were, where they were all together from, but I'll tell you this, they seen a manifestation of God's healing power. When people begin to see miracles in the church, I'm not talking in the Baptist church, because they said they're done away with. Listen to me. I was talking to a Baptist man. We don't believe in that stuff. That's all past. I won't even go there. But it's not coming to those that aren't believing and looking for it. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, and there's a lot of Pentecostals that aren't looking for nothing to happen when they come to church. Listen, these men seen something, and some of us have seen some things over the years. I know Rick has testified as a young man seeing the healing miracles by Pastor Reynolds. Not that he did it, but the men of God. Amen. Where sick people, blind people, people that were full of the devil. Amen. I believe Paul was there casting out demons of the occult and witchcraft. And I believe God was moving in a supernatural way on that island. Listen, God is wanting to manifest his power again in this earth more than we want it. But I've been praying, Lord, give the church a desire, an anticipation. I can't wait to go to church on Wednesday. Oh, so listen, some people, I've heard some people say, man, we just go through the same old motions, go sing the same old songs. But listen, when we get the fire burning, I said, when we get the fire burning and you bring some wood into the church, and amen, you give your hallelujah, you give your praise the Lord, you give your testimony that glorifies God. I'm not talking about something that God did for you 2 or 3 weeks ago or 10 years ago, and that all has its place. But tell me what God is doing right now. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to talk about revivals of the past. I don't want to talk about moves of God of the past only. I thank God for the way he's moved in the past. But amen, I want to see it once again manifest in the midst of us, brothers and sisters. How many want to see it? Amen. I want to see it. Hallelujah. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Paul walked through that valley. The devil wanted to kill him. But I believe Paul came with a fresh anointing to heal the sick. Oh, how to cast out devils. Amen. I believe that he knows what Jesus said. I have sent you out and given you all power and authority over the powers of the devil. And he said, one of the things you're going to be able to do is to heal the sick and people that are full of diseases. Rick, that's what we need to see in the church again. We need to get the fire burning, where the fire gets so hot that, amen, every sickness, every disease, every demon can't be comfortable, that it's got to leave the people of God, that people have got to be healed. Listen, I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm anticipating this to happen. Not because of me, not because of you, but because we believe in God and his power. Can you say amen? David said in the rest of that psalm in verse 5, after he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he came out of that valley. And the Bible says, thou anointest thy head with oil, and my cup is running over. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Some of us have been in some trials and been going through some valleys. And amen, we might have to stay here a little longer. But as an anticipation, I believe God has given some of us to where we can see some great things that are coming our way. God is getting ready to bring some great and mighty things to pass. He's getting ready to use some of you. He's getting ready to use this body of believers to do a great work in the midst of this city, and I believe around the world. I'll be bold enough to say it, Rick. I believe that we can reach the world from this little building. Whether God keeps us here for only a couple years and we move on, God only knows. Amen. But I'm believing that God's going to do some great things in Mexico City. I believe we're going to have a church down there. Amen. And what you need to pray is that Victor submits to the will of God. Amen. There's a part of him that's digging his heels in. He's kicking against the pricks, Brother Phil. But if we as men of God can only yield to the will of God, there's some great things that he's going to bring to pass in our lives. Now, it's going to go against the flesh. Amen. Because listen, when you get to doing the work of God and you got to feed the fire every day, that means labor. You've got to pray more. You've got to fast more. You've got to dedicate yourself to studying more. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Amen. It's okay that I haven't had a lot of work lately. It's making me pray more. It's making me fast more. It's making me study more. And amen, you know what? Glory be to God. My bank account might be lean, but my cup is running over. My cup is running over. I feel the Holy Ghost. The fire of God is burning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead and praise the Lord. I know it's Wednesday night Bible study. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh God.
Have your way, have your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For your presence. I felt the Lord quicken me to tell you the key to us receiving that fresh touch of oil. I'm talking fresh oil, which is the fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Some of us run on oil. How many of you have ever ran their vehicles
for a long time on some old oil. Like a lot of Christians that run on old black oil. And that oil will get sluggish. Slug oil, right, Rick? They say it creates sludge. There's a lot of folks that are stuck in the sludge of the oils of yesteryear. But I'm looking for fresh oil. This church age needs a fresh outpouring. Fresh. That means that we as the people of God need to receive this fresh oil the way that God has ordained it. Peter preached in the book of Acts 3 and 19. He said the key to receiving it is by repenting. Any revival, any move of God always must start with a godly sorrow that works repentance. Us turning from our traditions, us turning away from our sluggish traditional ways that we've always done. Habits. Doing things in a certain order or way. And that all has its place in life, but not in the church. He must have preeminence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's an order to the service, but yet He will order things. Too many times we miss God by not being sensitive to the moving of God's Spirit. And in order for us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, we must first know how to be led by the Spirit of God. Not anybody can just be led by the Spirit of God. I'm still learning. Are you still learning? His ways are not my ways. But when I can hear the wind a rustling in the mulberry trees, I've been hearing that the last few weeks here. He's going out before us and preparing some things. It's not going to just fall in our laps, this fresh oil. Joel said, 2 and 28, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I will. So God has ordained a time period in which it will come. I believe before it comes, the church must come into a place of deep conviction, godly sorrow, and repentance. For those that have been sitting in the church, having church. That attitude's got to stop. Where's the anticipation? Where's the expectation? The whole church needs to hear this tonight. That's why I pray that God begins to kindle the fire in their heart. And Peter said in Acts 3 and 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. You know, we got some people in the church, and I'm not looking to be mean, but we need to pray. We got people in our church that aren't even converted. I've been watching for a while. I don't know if they're born again. Truly, Rick. And I'm not saying this to be mean. But when you can sit still, like the Holy Ghost moves Sunday night, and not move, you're not converted. You're dead. Either that or you're so full of sin and backslid that there's something wrong. That's not being mean. Man that loves you tells you the truth. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come. Somebody say shall come. I said shall come. What precedes the refreshing time?
What precedes the outpouring? What precedes us being able to enjoy the presence of the Holy Ghost? What precedes that is a people that have come under that conviction and responded with a godly sorrow and us repenting. We quote it all the time, and I'll be short, I promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Some of us aren't even praying. How can we repent if we're not even praying? That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This is what we need. Fresh oil for the fire. Won't get into it. You read Luke 12:35. Talks about those ones that have their lights burning. In order for a light to burn, a flame to burn, there's got to be oil. There's got to be oil. Yeah. Fresh oil burns the hottest and the best. You know what I've been doing? I'll be honest with you, I've been sleeping in a lot later than I should. I heard somebody say, Grandpa or Grandma used to love to burn the midnight oil. It's the best time to pray in a house full of people, Rick, is when everybody's sleeping. See, that flesh will say, just stay there and lay down on that nice soft pillow. Yeah. Oh, your back's sore. You need to just lay there. You're tired. You don't need to go pray. You can pray some other time. But when he begins to draw, it's because he's wanting to give me some fresh oil. Are you listening to me? Fresh oil. A lot of us know where to get the fresh oil, but we aren't ready to pay the price to go get it and buy it. There's a price to pay for it. Amen. It's a life of dedication and prayer. Is that right, Rick? Going out and praying at night. Oh, I need fresh oil, Lord. I need a fresh touch from you. I can't go on last week's talk. I can't go on last year's experience. I can't go on the touch I got at convention. I can't go on that touch that I got 3 weeks ago. Lord, I need fresh oil. I need a fresh touch. But it's labor to get that oil. You got to dig in and pray and seek His face with all your heart. Stand with me, church, tonight. Hallelujah.